أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek the protection of God from Shaytan, who has been removed from God's kingdom of special mercy. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We ask for special grace and blessings from God because He is the all-perfect being, the all-merciful, and one whose extra love and mercy is available for the good doers and the believers. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. And we send our salutations and greetings on the Holy Prophet and on his holy progeny, who are the best guides for mankind till the end of time. Elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. In our discussion on Dua Kumail, we said that it's important to remind ourselves that this Dua is not ordinary, it's extraordinary for several reasons. Number one, that the person who requested to be taught this Dua, Kumail ibn Ziyad, is a member of the elite companions of the Prophet, of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and therefore his level of knowledge and spirituality and piety is so high that the type of dua he would be taught would be of a superior quality. And number two, the fact that the dua is also known as the dua of Khidr, and Khidr alayhi salam was an extraordinary personality because he was the teacher of a prophet, one of the major prophets, Musa alayhi salam. And number three, the fact that Imam Ali alayhi salam himself says that this dua is so powerful that even if it's recited once in a lifetime, it has the potential to transform the life of that individual. This dua can be broken up into paragraphs, and we were discussing the first one, which can be summarized in these words. Next slide, please. That, O Lord, we beseech you by your different names. We beseech you because you are all-knowing. وَبِعِلْمِكَ الَّذِي أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. We plead to you because not only you know everything and therefore our problems, but you also have the power to solve that problems. وَبِقُوَّتِكَ and جَبَرُوتِكَ and عَظَمَتِكَ and عِزَّتِكَ and سُلْطَانِكَ. Not only you know, not only you have the power, but you're very willing and helpful and merciful enough to want to solve the problem. وبرحمتك وبأسمائك التي ملأت أركان كل شيء. لكني, before I ask, I realize that though you are near everything, including me, you are nearer to me than my very core of my existence, but by my own wrongdoing, I've distanced myself from you. And therefore, before I ask you, I wish to ask for forgiveness. So, اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تهتك العصام تنزل النقم تغير النعم تحبس الدعاء تنزل البلاء. In fact, كل ذنب أذنبته. I ask for forgiveness from all sins that I may have committed. Once I have realized that God is the nearest being to me, and I have sincerely from the bottom of my heart expressed my wish to get near to Him, then I make my fundamental request. I'm not asking for material possessions. The first thing I ask for are spiritual gifts. أسألك بجودك أن تدنيني من قربك وأن توزعني شكرك وأن تلهمني ذكرك وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا وفي جميع الأحوال متواضعا. Six gifts we ask for. We've already discussed all of them except for the last one. Next slide, please. Where not only I want to get near you and therefore constantly remember you and therefore be constantly thankful to you. In fact, I should be pleased and contented with whatever you have given me. And throughout and in all dimensions of my life, I want to be humble. Humility is a virtue which in the riwayat we have been told is one of the supreme virtues. Next slide, please. In the Quran, next slide. this virtue of humility, لا حسب كالتواضع. There is no status like that of humility, the riwayah says. Or the riwayah says, this is the zina and the pearl of all the virtues, zinatul fada'il. Humility is so important that right from the beginning, all the other prophets preached about it and practiced it. In fact, even those who were apparently not prophets, they were people who had been granted special wisdom. Even they recognized that success in life, peace in life, tranquility in life can be achieved by humility. This ayah is from Surah Luqman. Luqman in the Quran is characterized as a person who had been blessed with wisdom. The Quran is not clear whether he was a prophet or not. The riwayat say yes, he was. But let's work from the Quranic basis. He was a special individual, granted with wisdom. One of the teachings of wisdom that he gives to his son, he teaches his son this wisdom that was granted to him. Ya bunayya, la tushrik billah. Have the right faith. Believe in one God only. There is no power other than the absolute one. Ya bunayya, innaha intaku mithqala habbatin min khardal fatakun fi sahra aw fi samawat aw fi al-ard. My dear son, remember that even if there is a small item as small as the size of the seed of a mustard, and if it be hidden in the depths of the earth or in the most distant places in the universe or in the solid core of a big stone, all three areas where normally human beings don't have access to, but Allah definitely shall bring it to account. Believe in the beginning, believe in the end. Ya bunayya aqim as-salah wa amur bil ma'ruf wa nahy 'anil munkar. He gives him a whole package of what he should believe, of what character he should develop. Wasbir 'ala ma asabak inna dhalika min 'azm al-umur. One of the gems of wisdom that he teaches him is humility. Ayah number 18. Wa la tus'ir khaddaka lin-nas. Don't turn your face away proudly and arrogantly away from the people, thinking that you are somebody superior. Be humble. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. If Allah has gifted you with extra blessings, don't walk on the earth proudly, arrogantly, puffed up. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Allah doesn't like an individual who is arrogant, who is proud, who is living in the clouds, who thinks that Allah, that whatever he has is by his own efforts. He doesn't recognize that everything is from Allah. The interesting thing I wanted to point out to you is humility, notice, is not only something which the prophets preached. Even the non-prophets, these people granted with wisdom, also preached it and practiced it. Any culture, any civilization that has been influenced by this teaching and is practicing this teaching is successful. You look at the management, the modern management gurus, the consultants, the advice they give. One type of successful leadership in a company, in a world where it's highly competitive, so you're looking for that edge in the competition, now they're recommending a type of leadership based on the leader has to serve if he is to be successful. The paradigm of leadership based on humility. Stephen Covey, The habits of the seven habits of highly effective people. He says, I studied all the past literatures, including religious texts and non-religious texts, and the summary that he comes up with. Well, one of them is humility. In the hotel industry, the Ritz-Carlton Hotel is famous for its superior quality of service. The founder, Schultz, He says that whenever I recruit my staff, the induction and the training and the orientation is conducted personally by me, not by the managers. In that orientation program, Schultz says, I tell my new staff, I ask them a question. Tell me, who is the most important person in this organization, in this hotel? Is it me or is it you? You know, a boss has to establish his authority. You better know who's the boss. You better know who's the most important person around here. So obviously the new staff are worried. They keep quiet. They may be thinking, of course, you are the boss. So Schultz says, it's of course you. You're the most important person in this organization. On Monday, if I don't come, nobody will notice. Nobody will care. But you, the waiter, you the busboy, you the bellboy, you the keeper, you the room service staff, you don't come, breakfast won't be served, the beds won't be cleaned. This hotel is going to fail. Lesson number one, you are the most important person in this organization, more important than me. And number two, Schultz says, in that orientation program, he tells the staff, you are not working for the company. You are part of the company. Number three, he says, we tell them that you're so important. I tell the waiters, for example, or the housekeepers, that whosoever amongst you is successful, he shall be granted the honor of writing the manual, training manual for the next batch of the staff that will be employed. And number four, he says that, and we honor them. We tell them that we even empower them to spend up till $2,000. A bellboy is allowed to use up till $2,000 without taking permission if it's brought to his notice that there is a particular unexpected problem or there's a customer complaint and he's got no time to refer and check. He confirms, yes, he compensates for the damage. I hope you realize all of this based on a simple principle of humility. They may not, Carlton Ritz may not have been taught by prophets, but definitely this wisdom that was transmitted from generation to generation is being practiced. Carlton is proud to say they are at the top of the service industry. Next slide, please. وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكْ. Luqman continues to say to his son, my dear son, when you walk, walk humbly. وَغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكْ. Don't speak proudly. إن أنكر الأصوات لصوت الحمير. Surely the worst sound is that of a donkey. It's disgusting to listen to. It's disgusting to listen to the sound and the voice and the tone of a proud boss who tries to impose himself upon you and dictate to you. Next slide. And therefore we find in the examples of our prophets themselves how they practiced humility. The Holy Prophet, if you did not know this particular man is the messenger of God, if you were a stranger and you came to the town and you saw a circle of people sitting down and said, I heard there's a prophet. Where is the throne? Where is the king? Who amongst you is the prophet? Ayyukum Rasulullah. So simple, so humble that he was almost one of them. If a guest came to him or a companion came to him and there was no mat for him to sit, he would take off his cloak, spread it and allow him and welcome the guest to sit on. Humility. There is a riwayah which says they were traveling. They stopped at a place. They wanted to make some food. So everyone says he will undertake a particular task. The Prophet says, I will hunt for twigs and wood so that we can make fire. Humility. I'm the boss, everybody else should serve me. No. The clothes that he wore, simplicity. The animal that he rode, simple one. He used to milk the goat himself. He was ready to sit with slaves. He was the first one to make salam. he would be forward in shaking hands. And he was so humble that as a matter of pride, when he shook hands, he would not remove his hands first till that individual stopped shaking the hands and removed it. And if it went for too long, then the Prophet would hold the hand and then gradually slip his own hand out. If he was invited, irrespective of who the host is, even if it's a person of low status, he would accept the invitation. In fact, some riwayah says he was also helping in house chores also. Next slide, please. And the same humility examples we find in the lifetime of our Imams, alayhi salam. In the time of Imam Sadiq, public baths were in vogue. So on one occasion, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam goes to the public bath. His companions notice he wants to come. So they say, alright, we tell all the companions, vacate, let the Imam come and occupy. Special service. Second class, no, first class service. So Imam says, no, لا حاجة لي في ذلك. There's no need for extra ceremony and extra service. إن المؤمن أخف من ذلك. A mu'min is not like a king that he should receive extra service. Simple, humble. Imam Ridha alayhi salam, when he migrated or was forced to migrate from Medina to Khurasan, in the pomp and the glory of palace life, the norm was the heads of the court, they had a different table where they were served food. Imam alayhi salam insisted that when food is served, the servants are also called to attend to eat. So it was brought to his attention, but these are black people, these are of low class, you can keep food aside for them, but you sit separately. And Imam alayhi salam says, ma, stop what you're saying. Innal ab wahid wal wahid. Our mother was one, our father was one, wa rabbu wahid. Well, all of us are one, all of us are from the earth. Humility. On one occasion, Imam Ridha alayhi salam visits a public bath. So there's someone who wants a little scrubbing. So he says, you gentlemen, can you help me scrub my back, please? So Imam picks up the scrubber and helps him. Then when some other companions come and say, oh, do you know who did you ask to scrub your back? I didn't know. And he apologizes profusely. Imam says, no problem, it's my honor to serve a believer. Humility, to be of service. Next slide, please. The question, of course, is, how do we develop the trait of humility in ourselves? There are certain fundamental realities we need to remind ourselves of. In the Quran, one issue on which there is emphasis on is, look at your origin. Where did you come from? In Surah Tariq, chapter 86, ayah number 5, Allah says, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّا خُلِقْ. Let man ponder and reflect. What was his beginning? Why is he so proud now? His beginning was from a drop of a fluid, which according to the Sharia is najis. If that is your origin, then why the pride? The same concept is repeated in Surah Yasin. أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِن نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Does not man consider, ponder, reflect on his origin, that is from a small drop of fluid? Number two, what are you proud about? You're an expert, you are a professional, you're a degree holder, you have some talents that others don't have, you have extra knowledge. Well, remember this much, your beginning was, you were zero. In Surah Nahl, chapter 16, ayah 78. وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Your beginning was such that when you were born from the wombs of your mothers, you did not know anything. To start with, you had nothing. Obviously, He granted you and gifted you with faculties, the eyes and the ears and the heart and the mind to understand. And He gave you the curiosity to learn, the capacity to learn and the means to learn. And you grew and you learnt. But it's all God provided, so why the pride? Oh, incidentally, alright, so you made your efforts and you learned, you became an expert, a super expert. You think that is your core identity? and you think it is your own, and therefore it cannot be taken away, well, remember this much. Definitely one of the cycles that human beings undergo is as they age, as they grow older, they begin to lose information, memory. وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. And whoever whom we give عمر, we flip him over. Right at his old, mature age, we flip him and he becomes just like a child. نُنَكِّسْهُ نَكَّاسَ. The huge merry-go-round, the Arabs call it Nakasa, because the same merry-go-round will take you from top to bottom and from bottom to top. Nunakisu, we revert him back to his childlike stage when he becomes older. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْذَلِ الْعُمُرِ لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ مِنْ بَعْدِ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. And amongst people are those who will be afflicted with this problem and this disease, that they lose their memory. They don't, whatever they learn, they forget. Even if you are the most powerful man on the earth, and your name happened to be President Reagan, but when you become old, you will forget if Allah wants to afflict you. So why the pride? Why the pride? So you have power. But power is a gift from God. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, ayah 26. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. Allah is the owner of the ownership. He's not only the king, not only the king of the kings, he's the king of the kingdom. He grants power to whomsoever he. Not only is he powerful, he's the one who empowers. مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. In your wisdom, you know who to give. وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. In your wisdom, you know who to deprive of power. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرُ. إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. So why are you proud? Because of your knowledge, knowledge is a gift from God. Because of your power, gift from God. And number three, even if you have no knowledge, and even if you have no power, or even if you have them, and you still feel proud, tell me, your full knowledge and your full power, can it save you at a time when Allah wants to afflict you? وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. And one of his signs, as mentioned in Surah Yasin, is that he exposes you to a situation where you experience your own powerlessness and helplessness. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ أَنَّ حَمَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ فِي الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ وَخَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ مَا يَرْكَبُونَ. And a sign for them of God's absolute power and their absolute powerlessness is that we have enabled them to travel on the oceans. The water, normally you walk on the water, you'll sink. Yet you can have a boat floating. Not only is sea craft possible, but aircrafts are also possible. You swim in the ocean of the air. But who is the one who enables the air to have that particular property? And the materials of which the planes are made to have that particular property. That under certain physical laws, when they take off with a certain amount of energy, with a certain shape of the plane, that they can fly. And the boat can float. Who is the one who enables that? Lakini, if you don't appreciate that, then remember this much. وَإِنَّ شَاءَ نُغْرِقْهُمْ. If we so will, we can make them drown. We can make them crash. وَإِنْ نَشَأَ نُغْرِقْهُمْ فَلَا صَرِيخَ لَهُمْ. You can call 9-11 till the end. They won't help you. وَلَا هُمْ يُنْقَذُونَ. And even if 9-11 wants to help, they will be helpless. وَلَا يُنْقَذُونَ. They will not be saved. إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِنَّا وَمَتَاعًا إِلَىٰ حِينَ. So why proud of your knowledge and your power? It's all God given. It's all God provided. Moment by moment. Any moment it can be withdrawn. Number four, the fact that when you reach old age, you experience disability. وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَطَمَسْنَا عَلَىٰ أَعْيُنِهِمْ فَاسْتَبَقُوا الصِّرَاطَ فَأَنَّا يُبْصِرُونَ. وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَمَسَخْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ مَكَانَتِهِمْ فَمَا اسْتَطَاعُوا مُضِيًّا وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يرجعون ولا يرجعون ومن نعمره ننكسه في الخلق أفلا يعقلون. Allah is the one who constantly provides, and because He constantly provides, He has the power to stop the provision and immediately to disable you and incapacitate you. So why the pride? Essentially, if a human being recognizes his true identity vis-a-vis his Lord, it is not possible for him to be proud. Definitely he will be humble. Next slide, please. And therefore we get in the hadith that humility with this background, with this belief, إِنَّ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْعِبَادَةِ التَّوَاضُعِ. This is one of the best acts of worship, to experience an inner sense of humility in front of God's absolute power. It's one of the greatest ibadah. التَّوَاضُعُ نِعْمَةٌ لَا تُحْسَدْ عَلَيْهِ. Allah gives a lot of gifts to different individuals, and normally people feel hasad. But one of the ni'mah on which there will be no hasad is tawadhu, a sense of humility. Because hasad stems from selfishness, from I want it and you should not get it. Humility works against selfishness. So it won't be something on which anybody is going to envy you on. ثمرة التواضع المحبة. Person who is humble and simple, he wins. He's lovable, he's likable, he wins approval and popularity amongst people. التواضع لا ينبغي لمن عرف عظمة الله أن يتعظم. It does not behoove for a person who knows the true majesty of the Lord to then feel proud. Conclusion. This dua has taught us to ask not for material gifts, but to ask for spiritual gifts. Qurb and shukr, rida and qana'a, dhikr, and humility, mutawadhi'a. If I can suggest one act which can encapsulate and encompass all these major requests, as I've said before and I'm repeating again, sajda. The sajda of shukr, with the right expressions, will cover all these spiritual gifts we are asking for. The sixth holy Imam says, أَقْرَبْ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدِ إِلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ سَاجِدْ. The nearest a person can experience proximity to Allah is when he is in the state of sajda. Qanini, because the posture of sajda indicates, I have humbled myself, I have detached and distracted myself and disconnected myself from everything other than God. I have focused on God, and to God I have humbled myself to the lowest level possible. This is my outward expression of my inner experience, and then I speak. Ya Rabb al-Arbab, O the King of the Kings, O the Master of the Masters. Ya Sayyid al-Sadat, O the Chief of all the Chiefs. Ya Malik al-Muluk, the King of the Kings. Ya Jabbar al-Jababira, O the Majestic One of all the Majesties. O the Excellency of all the Excellencies. Ya Ilaha al-Aliha, or the God of all the gods. There is no other God other than you. And then you ask your hajjah. It's not possible for this hajjah, therefore, not to be accepted. Let's pray to Allah to get the tawfiq, to be able to achieve these spiritual gifts. And once we get them, to cherish them and to maintain them. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.